Praise God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here tonight. We're going to read from there a few short verses, but I'm going to mainly preach on one specific verse from this chapter. And my message here tonight in this Bible study is because of the angels. And it's a title taken straight from this chapter. This is our fourth and final message on the biblical doctrine of head covering. You'll remember that we've already done two messages where we taught six key points of things that Paul the Apostle gave us in this chapter of why a church practices head covering. Then the third message last week was we dealt with many of the best arguments against head covering. But here tonight, I want to finish. I haven't dealt with everything. I haven't said all that I would like to say or could say, but we are going to finish here in this fourth message because of the angels. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. And it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Let's pray here tonight for this teaching in the Word of God. Father, I do thank you for the Word of God here tonight. And as we look at this reason concerning the angels of God in the assembly of the gathering of God's people, Father, I pray that a deep reverence and fear of God will descend upon us. Lord God, will you teach us by your Holy Spirit? And my God, don't allow us to be mere outward doers of the law. But Lord God, I pray that you'd bring a deep inward revelation. Lord God, that you'd bring truth tonight, not merely focusing on a symbol, but understanding the teaching and the truth of God, the apostolic doctrine that has been delivered and given unto us. My God, thank you for symbols, but thank you more for the truth of God that sets us free, that enlightens us, my God, that guides us into all truth. And Father, we do pray, we want to submit tonight to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We want Jesus Christ to be Lord, to be head of the body, this church, this body of Christ, even tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My message here tonight, because of the angels. And just going back again to verse 10 in this chapter where we have read, it says in verse 10, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." I'm going to have to work hard tonight not to go into a Bible study of teaching on angels. In fact, I very soon want to do either an entire message on angels or a short series on angels, because there's so much in the Bible about angels, and it is a biblical teaching. But I want to try hard here not to make it a Bible teaching on angels, and that's going to be very hard. You might say they're only mentioned once in this text. I know. But by the end of this message, you are going to be shocked at the meaning of this verse in the midst of this chapter. Maybe at the minute you're asking and saying, why would Paul write this? Or why would the Holy Spirit put this here? But by the end of this message, you're going to have no doubts that it is so right that the angels are mentioned here in this place in the text. Paul says, because of the angels. When we look at this chapter in the teaching on head covering, this was one of Paul's main reasons why the church at Corinth should practice head covering. In fact, we gave it as one of the six main reasons why a local church practices head covering. Paul writes here, for this cause. In other words, for this reason. Look with me here. He actually gives a reason in this text. We dealt last week with many of the arguments that people make against head covering, and yet it's got nothing to do with the text. But tonight I'm giving you a biblical teaching about head covering. This is one of the main reasons, and it's written here. Paul gives it to us. God gives it to us. The Bible actually gives it to us. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power upon her head. Why should she have power upon her head? Because of the angels. It says she ought to. The women ought to have power on her head. The word ought in the Greek is the word to oblige. Or they should, or they must. In other words, the ladies in a local church, they should have power upon their head. Why? Because of the angels. Or he's actually saying, you ought to, you must cover your heads, or you must have a covering on your head. Why? Because of the angels. Now notice here, previously and even after this, he talks about a woman having a covering on her head. But only once in this verse, he talks about having power on her head. What does this word power mean? The word power here is the Greek word exousia. Exousia. Now what does this word exousia mean? The word literally translated means authority, or liberty, or right. It actually is the word for when you are given authority. So notice here that Paul writing, suddenly he's talking about head covering or having something on your head in the gathering of God's saints when you pray and prophesy. Then suddenly in this verse, he changes and he begins to talk about having authority upon your head. Notice it's talking about the woman's physical head. It's not talking about something mystical or spiritual here. It's talking about on the woman's head like he was previously. So this authority is to be upon the woman's head. It's a physical head, and the authority is, or the exousia, is something physical upon her actual head, just like in the previous verses. Do you know what this authority is? And some Bible versions actually teach this. They will say the sign of authority, or the symbol of authority. In other words, this authority on her head, this thing on her head, symbolizes authority. You see, there is a time to symbolize the truth of authority in the church. We do this with many other symbols. When the sick come for prayer, we anoint their head with oil. Now, there's nothing special with oil. There's nothing magical. There's no power in that oil. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray for the sick, we anoint their head with oil because the oil is a symbol. When we baptize someone in water, what we're doing is spiritually baptizing them into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The water isn't the burial. It is a symbol. It is a temporary thing. It happens on one day at a certain set time, and it's a symbol or it is a picture. Or each Lord's Day, each Sunday morning, when we break bread together, we take the cup with juice in it, the fruit of the vine, and we take a bit of bread or cracker. These are symbols. They aren't the actual spiritual thing themselves. We don't get all caught up in the cup or the bread or the water or the oil. No, not at all. They are only symbols. But neither do we throw the symbol out and say, oh, we have the truth, so we don't need the symbol. No, we don't do that. Do you know what? God has given these outward, physical, very simple symbols. You know why? To stir up our minds. So look again, Paul teaches on head covering. Ladies, have some material on your head when we gather as a church, when you pray or prophesy. And then he says in this verse 10, he no longer calls it a covering or tells you to cover your head. He no longer does that. He actually says here that you ought to have power or authority on your head. He's talking about a symbol of authority. He's talking about something symbolic. In other words, the head covering is symbolic. It's not the actual thing itself. Don't become proud because you're doing it. Don't become self-conscious. It is only a symbol. And it's a very simple thing. It's a very human and natural thing. You're not more spiritual because you do that. And you could do this without understanding the truth of authority. In the previous verses, it talks about covering and being uncovered. But verse 10 is all about having power upon your head. We might think it represents submission. And some people think that. They think in the church, oh, the head covering represents submission to your husband. No, it doesn't. Or they might say it is a symbol in the church of submission. It actually isn't. Look at this verse 10. The symbol, when it's spiritually understood in its true meaning, is a symbol of authority, not of submission. And I'm going to explain this. It's not a symbol of you ladies being submitted. It is actually that there is a visible symbol so that all of us can be reminded of a biblical teaching concerning authority. Now listen to me carefully before we start here, and I'm only preparing you for five distinct points I want to make tonight on this one single verse to explain why angels are mentioned here. A head covering symbolizes something. It is the symbol. Whatever you put on your head, it's only a symbol. You don't get caught up with it. You don't become all enamored with it. You don't become conscious of it. No, that would be to miss the whole thing. You see, a symbol is a shadow. It is a pointer. And the head covering, if it's doing its job, it actually points us in a certain direction. Or it reminds us about a biblical teaching. In other words, it's not an end in itself. It is pointing you somewhere. It is reminding you of a teaching within the Bible. The woman is to have a symbol upon her head. The man is to have nothing upon his head. He must not cover his head. He must not have power or authority on his head. So the woman has a symbol, and it is a symbol upon her head, but it's to be visible and it's to be public when the church gathered together. But the symbol must be understood if this teaching is to truly be valued. If you don't understand what it symbolizes, then head covering means nothing. It's an empty ritual. It loses its power. It loses its influence in the entire church. So we must understand what the head covering symbolizes. In other words, its spiritual meaning or its biblical meaning. If you that have been a part of this church think back to the beginning of 2017, I taught an entire series of messages on authority and submission, an entire series. We looked at Christ's authority in the church and over the church, or it could be called his headship of the church. We looked at Satan's rebellion against authority, how he refused to submit to God's word, to God's authority, and to God's throne. He rebelled and he became Satan. We also looked at the authority of scripture or of the teachings of the Bible in the church, that they are absolutely authoritative. We also looked at authority in the church, how God himself has given authority and a position and certain rights to men in the church called elders are presbyters, and they've got to be qualified. We find that in Hebrews chapter 13. We also taught in that series, saints, I'm actually telling you what the symbol means, what head covering means. That entire series of messages actually is the spiritual truth. But now we're looking at the symbol, which points us back to that entire teaching. Remember, we also taught about the home, that there's also authority and submission in the home, and that the husband of every home is the head. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. Or what about bosses in your workplace? Well, that's Ephesians chapter 6. And then the authority of government, that's a Romans chapter 13. Go back and remind yourself about that entire series. There were 17 messages that I taught about biblical authority and submission. 17 messages. We then finished the entire series talking about the millennium and how the saints who overcome are going to reign and rule with authority over cities in the millennium. In other words, that's your reward for how you live here. Do you know what those 17 messages were? They are literally symbolized by the head covering each time we gather as a church. Saints, this is a remarkable thing that I'm telling you here. I should have added in that series of 17 messages a message on head covering. Because in the church, when we look at the head covering, it is a symbol to remind us that there is an authority structure in the home, in government, in society, in church, and even in the Godhead. In other words, summed up in this physical exousia on a woman's head, that physical symbol, it is symbolic of the entire teaching of biblical authority and submission. It is a symbol of the teaching of authority in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And what does Paul say here? He says, for this cause ought the woman to have power or a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now here, saints, now let's get down to the Bible study. I'm just warming you up here. Now we begin the real Bible study here tonight. What does Paul mean, because of the angels? That the woman ought to have power or a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. I'm going to give you five reasons why Paul writes that here and why the Holy Spirit puts that here. You might say it seems out of context, or he doesn't say anything about it. But do you know why it's left like that? Because you have to look at the entire teaching about angels in the Bible to understand why it's here. And I believe it's very important, this verse. It's very important what it says here. So I'm going to give you five reasons of why the angels are put here in connection with the head covering and why it's not any longer called a head covering or to cover your head, but it's called a symbol of authority. And here's my first point of the five tonight. Number one, angels and the church. Angels and the church. I'm going to show you five connections here, how angels are connected to the church. As we read this verse, we see that in the public gathering of the church, that angels are intimately connected with us when we gather to pray or to prophesy, to sing or to preach. Angels are actually involved in that gathering. This is a remarkable thing. This is why women ought to have power on their head. Because of this connection, there is an entire teaching in the Bible, and I don't have time to go into it tonight. We're only touching on it. But listen to some of the verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. And Paul writing, this is just earlier in Corinthians chapter 4. And it says in verse 9, "For I think that God has set us, the apostles, forth last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle," and notice this carefully, "unto the world, unto angels, and unto men." Look at what Paul says here. The same one writing 1 Corinthians 11 wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And he's speaking about the same angels, the exact same angels. And he's speaking to the same church about these same beings called angels. Now Paul says, us the apostles are set forth for last of all, and we are appointed unto death. In other words, we the apostles are appointed unto death, to stoning, to whipping, to shipwrecking, to all manners of persecution, to false accusation. And do you know what he says all of that is? For we are made a spectacle. Now, what does this word spectacle mean? It means a public or an open show. It literally, the Greek word means a theater stage. In other words, you're playing out a part upon a theater. Literally. And you've got all of the audience sitting and watching you. You know what Paul says? Not only am I doing this with all the eyes of the world, of the universe actually upon me, or of men around me, but also the angels are watching me. In other words, when I'm being stoned and persecuted for the gospel, and when I'm having to endure many trials, do you know who is watching me? The angels are literally all there, probably huddling in together and pushing in and watching what's going to happen next in the Apostle Paul's life. They're actually watching, monitoring. They are publicly viewing what is happening in Paul's life. Now, this is what the angels actually do with all of this, is the angels are looking in upon the church, the trials, the troubles, the temptations, and they are watching to see what happens with preachers and with individual churches alike. They are watching. Now listen again in Ephesians chapter 3 and 9. And Paul writing again, "And to make all men see." Now this is Paul writing. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, and notice this, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He's talking about angelic beings. In other words, God is working in the church so that it can be seen and revealed, for this reason, so that it is revealed unto powers and principalities in heavenly places, that it might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen carefully. Do you know what he's saying here? Is that the powers and the principalities are seeing and learning the wisdom of God and God's eternal purpose. They don't get told it directly by God, but by watching the church, the wisdom of God is revealed, and God's eternal purpose, which he planned from the beginning, is being revealed in the church and by the church and through the church, and all the angels of God are watching on, and they're also called principalities and powers in heavenly places. So even in heaven, they are watching the church. And you know what? They are learning God's wisdom. They are learning about God's plan. You know what? God is revealing it through the church, and the angels are learning. Or listen to a bit further here. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. And I want you to notice this. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, or by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. He's speaking about the gospel. The Holy Spirit has come down in the church, and now the church is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It teaches it. It proclaims it. Repent of your sins. Believe on Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness by the blood. And you know what Peter writes here? He says, which things the angels desire to look into. That term look into means, and listen, this is the literal Greek, it means they lean in, or they stretch their necks out, wanting to understand and learn these things. Are you beginning to get a picture here why Paul talks about angels in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10? It's all for these reasons, that something of God's truth, of God's wisdom, of God's plan is being revealed in the gathering of the church, and the angels are stretching their neck in to hear the gospel, or to see what happens when we're persecuted, or to learn from what goes on in our gatherings. And the angels are stretching their necks when the gospel is being preached, and often we're not aware of this. Or listen, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, and this is Paul speaking to young Timothy, who's a young preacher, and listen to what he says. I charge you, or I command you, I'm laying a military command on you. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So notice Paul is writing to a young preacher, and he says, listen to me, I'm giving you a command. I'm laying responsibilities upon you. And you know what? I'm doing this. I'm writing in this letter to you and giving you this command and responsibility, and I'm doing this before God, before Jesus Christ, and before the elect angels. Isn't that a remarkable thing that Paul is laying this on this young preacher and saying, young man, I'm doing this not only before God and Jesus, but I'm doing it before angels. In other words, I want them to bear witness. I want them to watch over this. I want them to watch you to see if you will take heed to what I've written to you. Listen to what else he says. That thou observe the things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. In other words, he calls on the angels to look over Timothy and the church, saying, now, are they doing things without preference? In other words, thinking something of one person and you don't of the other. Do you know angels are meant to look out for that, and to watch preachers and leaders of churches and saying, now, are you abusing some and holding others up, making much of some and ignoring others? Do you know what? I have a charge on me as a preacher, not only before God and before Christ, but also before the elect angels. Do you know the angels are watching how I conduct myself in this church? So listen, angels are present when we pray and gather as a church. Ladies, when you pray or you prophesy, the angels are present in our public gathering. And that's why Paul says this. This is why he teaches about the head covering. He actually says, because the angels of God are present in their gathering, and they're looking and watching what we are doing, and they're learning from our gathering, And they look in and they see the ladies in the church with their head covering on, and they actually see it. Angels are going to see your head covering. But you know what, ladies? They don't see your head covering. They see a symbol of power or authority on your head. What we think of as a bit of material, they don't think of it as material. They see a outward symbol of authority. It has been given to the women to demonstrate or to physically hold forth the symbol of authority in the church. In other words, we say we believe in authority. You see, angels can't read your heart. They don't know your thoughts. They can't look at the motives of your heart. They can only look at the outward gathering of the people of God or listen to their outward words. Do you know how involved angels are in the church? You can read it. There are hundreds of references of angels in connection with the church. When you come to the New Testament, an angel spoke to Philip the evangelist to go out into the desert to evangelize one man who came along in his chariot. Or what about Cornelius, that unsaved man? An angel visited him in the night when he was fasting and praying and spoke unto him and told him to send for Peter to come and preach unto them. Or what about when Peter was in prison, an angel of the Lord came to deliver them? Or what about Paul was on that boat and it seemed like the storm was going to destroy them? What did Paul do? He woke early in the morning and said, "This night the angel of the Lord spoke unto me in a dream." Saints, I'm telling you, angels are highly involved in the work of the local church. Not only in Corinth, but also in Limerick. I assure you, this is a biblical teaching. And that's my first point here. I want you to see how angels are connected with the church. You cannot separate angels from the church. Where you find a real church, you will have the ministry of angels, even if you don't see them, even if you don't hear them, even if you don't feel them or sense them, and we're certainly not to speak unto them. But second of all, let's look at the culture of angels. Or I could say about this point, I could call it the angels and the presence of God. Because the true culture of angels is in the presence of God. It says in Matthew 18 verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." So notice here, the angels are in heaven. They're actually in the presence of God. And yet, if you hurt one of these children, one of these little ones, their angels are beholding it. These angels are in heaven, and yet the same angels are looking out for little ones, our children upon the earth. And Jesus teaching here in Matthew 18, he says, you would need to be careful because those little ones, if you harm them, their angels are right in the presence of the Father. What a warning that is. What a warning. So we see that the angels that are working in the church and on the earth, they actually come from the presence of God. What's my point? The culture of angels. Why does Paul say have power on your head because of the angels? It's because of the culture of the angels. What do I mean by culture? What does culture mean? It means the ideas, the customs, and the social behavior of a particular people or society. What is the culture of angels? Heaven. That is their culture. The throne room of God. The presence of God. The Holy of Holies. The throne room. That is what their culture is. Their culture is neither of Corinth or Ephesus or even Limerick. They are not of this world. And you know what? All the people that teach that head covering has to do with culture in Corinth, they're absolutely wrong. Look what this verse teaches, that the actual culture of the angels is from heaven. You see, the angels, when you see them in the Bible, they're always either coming from heaven or they're going to heaven. And when we speak about the presence of angels, it actually means that they're in heaven. It says in Hebrews 12 and 22, it gives a description of when we gather as a church, when we come together as a church, and when we enter into the presence of God or draw near to the Lord. Listen to what it says. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem. Then listen to the next sentence. To an innumerable company of angels. Then he goes on to talk about the church of the firstborn, unto God, the judge of all, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and much more he talks about. So he says, every time we gather as a church, we are gathering unto the new Jerusalem. We are gathering unto Jesus Christ and the blood of sprinkling, but not only that, unto an innumerable gathering of company of angels. Do you realize that when we gather as a church and we come into the presence of God, there are an innumerable gathering of angels, so many it's impossible for you to count them. Or what about Revelation chapter 5? Again, it gives us an insight into the presence of God. And listen to what it says. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of God. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now let me do the mathematics here for you. Of course it already says they're innumerable. You can't even count them. Every time we gather as a church, do we come unto Christ? Of course we do. Do we come boldly through the precious blood? Yes, we do. But every time we gather as a church, you cannot even count how many angels. When we draw near the presence of God, if your eyes were open, you couldn't count the angels. But look what it says in Revelation 5 verse 11. 10,000 times 10,000. Do you know how many that is? I've done the mathematics earlier. It's 100 million angels. 100 million angels. But he doesn't stop there. He gives out this amount, 100 million. Then he adds to it, and thousands of thousands. One Bible teacher actually said if you counted this up, it would take you not into the billions, it would take you into the trillions. The same amount is referenced in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10. Do you realize only one angel in the Old Testament, just one angel from the presence of God, killed 185,000 enemy soldiers that were coming against Israel? Only one angel from the presence of God can destroy an entire army. Since when we gather as a church, I tell you, don't let there be any disrespect. Don't let there be any game plan, because when we approach the presence of God and the throne of God and we enter in through the blood of the Lamb, I know we can't see it and we don't feel it, but the Bible tells me there are so many angels gathered and they're looking in upon the worship of the church, and just one of those angels is mighty. Is very, very mighty. Look with me at the culture of the angels. Their culture is not of earth. It is not of Corinth. It is not of Limerick. It's not geographical. It's not confined to some city. They come from heaven. The atmosphere they breathe is heaven. They come from the worship of heaven, from the glory of the presence of God. And you know what? They're not restricted by time. They don't accommodate to a certain generation, whether the first or the 21st. They don't come to the church of the 21st century and say, well, we need to accommodate ourselves to the 21st century. No, no, no. They are low created beings. They are now immortal. They will live forever. They cannot die and they will not die. The angels that are there have been there for 6,000 years. They were there in the first century and the second and the third and the 15th and the 18th. And now in the 21st, they have been around the church for 2,000 years in cities across our world. They have seen revivals and they have seen apostasies. And now here they are in our generation. They bring another culture. They don't look at us and say, Praise God, you're molding to the local Corinthian culture. No, they don't do that. You know what? They're looking for a church that accommodates to the culture of heaven, not the culture of Corinth, but the citizenship of heaven. Are we not citizens of heaven? Are we to mold our church according to the culture in Limerick? No way. We are a church that molds according to the culture of heaven. And so the angels, why do you wear a head covering? Ladies, why should you have power on your head? Because of the culture of the angels. They come directly from the presence of God. Paul's teaching in this chapter totally differs and in fact contradicts the culture of Corinth. But thirdly, angels and authority. Let's look at this for a minute. The connection of authority with angels. Now you may ask, what have angels to do with head covering? A bit of material on your head. What has that got to do with angels? It's got everything to do with angels. What does the head covering represent? Authority. It represents the headship of Jesus Christ. It represents structure in the home, church, society, in every relationship, everywhere you go, every day during the week. You're never free of this, never free. The biblical teaching of authority affects your entire life. And also, head covering represents the regulations of the kingdom of heaven, the exousia, or the authority of God. Now, what do angels have to do with authority? Do you realize angels are very interested in authority in the church? They are fascinated looking in on the teaching of authority and of what we display of authority. It says in Psalm 91, verse 11, speaking of God, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all of thy ways. Do you know the Lord still does that? He gives charge to the angels. In other words, he commissions them. He commands them. And he says, I want you to look after Paul. I want you to look after Mary. I want you to look after Ian. I want you to look after Ellen. God actually gives his angels commands and says, I'm giving you a job. I'm giving you a responsibility. I give you authority to look after this sheep, this saint who's going to be a part of my kingdom. That's what he actually does. Authority, therefore, is given unto them and responsibility. Or listen, in Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, all ye his angels that excel in strength and that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Notice with me here that the angels, what do? These angels that excel in strength, remember I said one angel killed 185,000 men? That's how strong they are. They are majestic beings. They are remarkable in wisdom. They have been here for 6,000 years. They have been servants of God for 6,000 years. And here they are. They excel in strength, or they are very mighty in strength. But what do? They do the commandments of God. They obey the commandments of God and they hearken to the voice of his word. They don't listen to the voice of Christians. You can't command angels to do things. You cannot do that. But you know what? They stand waiting on God for his command to obey his word. Do you know what that means? They are under authority. They are submitted. They are actually a part of this submission to the throne of God. I'm talking about the chosen elect angels of God. They are obedient angels and they obey the word of God. Or what about Matthew 26 verse 53? And this is Jesus on the cross. He says, thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus was dying on the cross. He was suffering for our sin. And yet, what did he say? I could call for 12 legions of angels. A legion of angels. It's a military term. And each legion has 6,000 soldiers in it. So if you have 12 legions of angels, that means there's 72,000 angels. You know what Jesus said? I could pray to my Father. Notice he didn't say I could just call on the angels. He said I would pray to my Father and the Father would give me more than 12 legions of angels. Do you know that we can pray to God, to the Father, and he could send his angels to this city? Do you realize we can do that? This is a biblical teaching here. So when we gather to pray and to prophesy in the church, we are actually becoming very aware that the angels are under authority. There are angels without number. There are armies of heaven. There are armies of angels, and only one of them can smite the enemy. And yet, they can be sent to fight on our behalf. Since when we begin to pray, when we begin to fast, I believe that God sends forth his angels to fight on our behalf. Saints, keep praying. Pray for your loved ones. One of your family members should have died, and yet an angel was sent from the presence of God to stop them dying. I believe that with all my heart. I was saved, I think, about 3 times from drowning. Once from being burnt alive in a barn, flames all around me. I should have died at least in one car wreck. But you know what? I believe the angels of the Lord were there to protect me. You see, the name angel is a very broad name. It's a generic term. And there's many names or references for angels in the Bible. Listen to a few of them. Angels, principalities, powers or exousia, might, dominion, thrones, rulers, archangels, and captains. These are all terms talking about great angelic beings, which we cannot see. We don't feel the rustle of their wings upon our shoulder. We don't hear their voices, or only in the will of God at least. All of these creations of God go under the term angels, but there are also those who are specifically called angels. Angels. Now God gave each of them distinct duties and definite domains in which to exercise specific authority delegated by God to specific angels. They have power, ability, and wisdom, but it is God who gives them commands. It's God who gives them the instructions. It's God the Father who sends them to do certain things on behalf of the church in answer to prayer. They are called the hosts of heaven. They are not to be worshipped or spoken to, but they are also not to be treated disrespectfully. They are heavenly. They are eternal. They are flames of fire. They are holy. They are elect. They are mighty. Women, what does this have to do with you in the local gathering every time we gather together? A woman with her head covered demonstrates the biblical teaching of authority when she prays and prophesies. You know what she's saying? She's saying, I am under authority. Therefore, I have authority. The angels are under authority, therefore they have authority. Women say that when a woman is under authority, she possesses authority in the local church to pray and to prophesy with power. It's not her head covering that gives her that, but it's her heart attitude when she is submitted to God and to the teaching of Scripture. That when she prays, she can go, I have authority before God. Or if she gives a prophecy in the church, she is speaking with God's authority to man. So the head covering is a mark of her position of authority in the new covenant. Her head covering reminds all of us men that we also are to be under the authority of Christ, and so to have authority in our home or in the local church. When we look at that head covering, we don't see a symbol of submission. We see a symbol of authority. That if we are truly to have authority in whatever sphere of life, in work or in church or in home, We are to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that head covering has a silent message to us. Fourth of all, angels and covering. And this is maybe my most important point here. Angels and covering. What do angels have to do with covering? You see, covering in 1 Corinthians 11, the head covering, the material covering, the physical thing that we see with our eyes, that thing represents authority spiritually or invisibly to the unseen world. Without covering, there is no symbol of authority. But under authority, we have authority. Do you remember the centurion? He says, I'm a man under authority, therefore I have authority, and I know that you have authority, therefore I can be blessed by submitting to your authority. There's so much in that. Now, although the angels fly, but they do not all have wings, but some of them do have wings. Now listen carefully, the angels and covering. You'll see, what do wings, the angels' wings, have to do with the woman's head covering? I believe it has a lot to do with that. You see, the angels, when Paul says, ladies, have power on your head, or have a covering on your head, or have a physical symbol on your head, because of the angels. I believe if you would have asked the Apostle Paul, what has covering to do with invisible angelic beings that come from the presence of God? He would say, an awful lot, an awful lot. Remember I said under the term angels are many angelic beings. Let me just mention two of them here that I haven't mentioned yet. One of them is called the seraphim. The seraphim. And you'll find this in Isaiah chapter 6. When the seraphim were sent, you remember the story, Isaiah, that prophet of God, is there in the presence of God. He is there having an experience with God in prayer. And do you know what? The seraphim is sent onto him from the presence of God. And they have six wings. Listen to what it says. With twain, or with two of those wings, they covered their faces. And with twain, or two of those wings, they covered their feet. And with twain, or with two of their wings, they did fly. In other words, a seraphim is a type of angel. And it has six wings. Other angels have no wings. But the seraphim have six wings. But notice here, four of the wings cover themselves. Only two of the wings are used to fly with. So these seraphims that come from the presence of God down into a physical house where Isaiah is, and they have a tongue with a hot burning coal, a spiritual coal, and they're going to touch the lips of Isaiah the prophet. They're literally, this is a whole spiritual experience. This seraphim has been sent from God to touch this prophet of God, to set his tongue on fire with a message to preach to the nation. And do you know what these seraphims, it means, the name means burning ones. And they dwell above the throne, but they come down among men, just like you and I. They are at the center of the throne of God, and they're round about the throne of God. And you know what the Bible says? They cry, holy, holy, holy. That is their song. These angelic beings come right down, and they've got six wings. But notice, they're aware of the holiness of God. Why do two wings cover their face? Because of the holiness of God. You know what this tells me when you come into the presence of God? If you study the angels, you know what you're going to learn? There is a covering in the presence of God. In other words, when you come into his holy presence, you want to cover yourself. You want to cover your head in the presence of God. But also you want to cover your feet. That represents your walk. Oh, if God should look at how we walk, who could stand in his presence? You know what? These angels, they come from the presence of God. They understand covering. These seraphims have to cover themselves in the presence of God. Oh yes, when they appear to Isaiah, they are terrible beings. They shake the entire house. They come with a red hot coal from off the altar of God. And yet, you know what? When they stand before God, they cry, holy, 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 and they cover themselves. They cover their own feet, and although they're sinless, there's no sin with them. They are perfect, sinless beings. They are holy beings, and yet they cover themselves. Saints, isn't there a message here that when we gather at the as the church, we ought to have a covering, a biblical practice of covering? When we come into the presence of God, we believe in covering. We believe in authority. We believe in submission. We believe in all of these things. We see these same seraphim in Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. And they're called the four living creatures. But let me go on a bit further. There's also the cherubim. They're different than seraphim. Seraphim have six wings. Cherubim are a different angel. And you'll find them in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. And they have four wings. Listen to what it says. With two wings, every one of them were joined one to the other. And with two, they covered their bodies. Notice these cherubims, these angels that come from the presence of God. Two of the wings they use to fly. But the other two wings, they cover their entire bodies. They have four wings. We first read about the cherubims at the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, two cherubims were placed at the gate or the entrance to Eden to stop anybody getting back into that garden. It's also two cherubim that you'll find on top of the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, they're mentioned about 89 times in the Old Testament alone. So we see these cherubims. They are a part of the angelic armies. But let me just point something out here. Every time you read about cherubims, it's always in the plural. There's more than one, apart from one time. There's only one cherub, only one cherubim that's mentioned by itself in the entire Bible. And do you know who he is? His name was Lucifer. He is written about in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 to verse 16. In verse 16, he is called the anointed cherub that covereth. In other words, Lucifer, when he was created, understood covering. He was anointed of God to cover. And I believe he was to cover the glory of God, or to protect the glory of God. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, the two cherubim were put there to guard the glory of God, to keep man out. The two cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant are covering the glory of God. They are protectors of God's glory. And when Lucifer was first created, he was to be jealous over God's glory. He was to protect God's glory. It also says in Ezekiel 28, verse 18, he is called the covering cherub. So this was his ministry, to cover the glory of God, to watch over God's glory. In other words, to be jealous or to carry a responsibility for God's glory. In chapter 28, it says, thou hast been in the garden of God, that is Eden, and every precious stone was thy covering. In other words, Lucifer was created a beautiful angelic being. All angels are, if we were to see them here tonight. And in fact, all these precious stones were the covering of the body of Lucifer. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So look at him. He is literally covered in glory. He is literally covered in this spectacular. He looks glorious. This is the covering God gave him. This is the natural covering of Lucifer. And he was to have a desire to cover God's glory and to protect it. And you know what? He was given two wings to cover his entire body. In other words, in the presence of God, you would never see these diamonds. You would never see how glorious he is as an angel. He would literally be anointed to cover his body. With two wings, he would cover how beautiful he was. And with two wings, he would cover the glory of God and watch over the glory of God. In fact, it says in this chapter that he was perfect when God made him until sin was found in him. When he sinned, Lucifer no longer covered his own beauty. He no longer concealed it, but he began to reveal his own beauty, his own covering, his own glory. He began to get lifted up with pride. He wanted position, power, authority, ministry, influence. He wanted to be like unto God. It says in Isaiah chapter 14, O Lucifer, son of the morning, art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou didst say in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And that means the angels of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, this is what God says, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And so Satan is a fallen angel. He is a serpent. And he went into the Garden of Eden, not as a spectacular angel, but as a serpent to deceive Eve. You know what he done? He wanted to draw Eve away from this teaching of authority. Adam was her head. Man was the head of woman. And yet the serpent come in there and he's displaying his covering and his glory and he deceives Eve away. Oh, let me finish here tonight on this simple one. I've got so much to say on this, but I want to finish on one last point here to help you to understand. Why does Paul say, you ladies, when we gather as a church, to have power upon your head because of the angels? This fifth last point, glory and the angels. Glory and the angels. You see, angels have everything to do with glory, covering, the presence of God, submission, and authority. They understand these things. This is the atmosphere that they live in. They are holy creatures covering themselves in the presence of God. They conceal their own glory, their own majesty, their own beauty, their own giftings, their own wisdom. Apart from Lucifer and his falling angels, they willingly cover themselves. They are compelled by the presence of God and the consciousness of the fear of God. They actually cover themselves with God-given coverings with the purpose to reveal only God's glory. Only God's glory. When the church gathers together, the local church, when we gather as a church in Limerick, it is in the presence of God. And we symbolically conceal our glory. Do you know what the glory of man is? You know, in this 1 Corinthians 11, what it says, what is the glory of man? It is woman. What is the glory of woman? It is her hair. And why do we do this? Why should man have his glory covered? And why should woman have her glory covered? Why is that? To reveal the glory of God. If we truly believe in the symbol of authority and understand it, when we come into the presence of God, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, I want my glory to be covered. If I'm a lady, I want my glory to be covered. You know what it says in the Bible? Listen to this in verse 7 of this chapter. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Do you hear that? Man is the image of glory, of God. He is in the likeness. He represents. He carries delegated authority from God in home and in the church. It's a delegated authority. He represents God upon the earth. He is made in the image of God, but he is also the glory of God. In other words, what does that mean that we men are the glory of God? And I thank God I didn't teach this. It's written here in this letter, or I'd get in trouble, but I'm just a teacher of the Bible. What does it mean that a man is the glory of God? This is what the word means. This is what the word glory means as we close. It means dignity, honor, praise, splendor, radiance, and magnificence. In other words, God in the church is saying, you men are my glory. You're to show forth my praise. You're to represent me. You're to show forth praise and honor unto me. You're to bring that unto me. That's what God is saying. You are my glory. You're to be an instrument of bringing glory unto me. Well, what about the woman being the glory of the man? Do you know, you ladies in the local church or in the home or in the workplace or wherever it is, do you realize you're to be the glory of the man? In other words, you're to show forth honor and praise and splendor. You're meant to be magnificence. You're meant to, your entire life ought to literally bring this forth. The woman brings honor to man and is a reflection. It's a testimony. Honor and respect your source. That's what it is actually saying here. So there's a divine order. There's an absolute divine teaching. Not because of man, but because we are in the presence of God and of angels. A woman doesn't have authority on her head because of the man, but it is a symbol of the biblical teaching of authority. And do you know what? God's glory is to be revealed in the local gathering symbolically. How? You ladies, you cover your glory. Your hair is glorious. That's what the Bible teaches. Your hair is beautiful. You know what? You ladies, when you grow your hair long, it honors you. It's a radiance unto you. It's a splendor unto you. It brings dignity to you. Short hair doesn't do that, ladies. But you know what? Your hair is a glorious thing, a gift from God to you. And it's allowed, but when you enter into the church, you know what he's saying? I want you to cover your glory. And more than that, you men, those women in the church are representing that they're covering your glory. In other words, no man is to glory in the church. No man is to be proud in the church. Every man has a witness in that physical symbol of authority, that you're to be under authority to Christ, that you've got nothing to glory in. You've got nothing to rejoice in. The God alone is to be your glory and your praise. And so a woman's hair is her glory, and it brings glory unto her. And naturally speaking, it reveals her feminine nature, and yet she chooses to cover it. The glory is whatever draws attention to her, enhances her beauty. And you know what? The Lord says you should cover it as a symbol. Yes, you could be proud in heart. Yes, you could be trying to draw attention to yourself. And ladies, can I give a word of warning as we close? If by your head covering, you're trying to draw attention to yourself, then you've lost the meaning of head covering. It's not about style. It's not about attracting attention to your hair. It's not about attracting attention to yourself, or else it becomes a distraction. It should not draw attention to yourself, but it should be an outward symbol that we say we want to hide our glory in the very presence of God. I want to be small in my own eyes. Saints, I hope this helps as we close our little short series here tonight. And close this message tonight. Listen again, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Amen. God bless you. Tonight we finish our Bible study here. I pray that this helps you to begin to understand why we practice head covering in the local church. It's not a Corinthian practice only, but all the churches of God were given this to represent the entire teaching of authority within the Bible. God bless you tonight. Amen.